Because when I was 5 years not leading a church, when I knew I was called to lead a church, and God had some restoring to do in our soul, and after the church plant we stepped out to do failed and all of that. But in that moment, before I was even in a real close relationship, I had a man call me, and I can remember I was at where Jeannie was working down in Beaumont, Texas. I had a man call me, and he just began to speak over the phone, and he said, he got my number through my cousin. He said, I heard you've been going through a circus down there. He said, I want to pray for you, and I want to help you, you know, in this season of your life. And it happened to be a man by the name of Dr. John Holler. He was my pastor for a few years. Not as many years I would have liked him to be. I'd still like for him to be my pastor today, but most of you know he's passed on to heaven. And he's just a precious, precious man of God who radically, radically changed my life. And he is the one who recommended us for this church. And so my honor of him and his wife will always be just through the roof, because he just impacted my life. Well, Dr. Holler was probably the best friend of our guest speaker today, Pastor Terry Sparks. And that's how I met Pastor Terry, was through Dr. John Holler. And I really appreciate this man. The last few years of his life, I don't even know how to describe. You know, have you ever had somebody you're talking to and they're sharing some things with you and you don't even know what to say? You know, because you really need the Holy Spirit to really speak to them, you know, speak through you to them. Last night, Jeannie and I had dinner with him, just some of the things, and I'm just like, wow, don't even know what to say. But this man, I call him a pastor. I believe he's a teacher as well. He's a missionary as well. He's also a prophet. I believe he is a prophet as well. And I thank God for him. And I want you to stand with me, and I want you to welcome Pastor Terry Sparks to the platform. All right, let's welcome him. Amen.
God bless you. It's always fun to be here. I was here last year. I had a beard. And had it surgically removed. Yeah. Well, it's always good. Wichita Falls has got a lot of memories for me. I had heart issues in my life, and I spent some time in the hospitals here. And my son was born here, so because my home is Graham, Texas, and that's where I was born and raised. Stayed there for most of my life, and then until the Lord began to deal with me to go out and help John there in San Angelo, and so we begin to move that way. So yeah, it's kind of like home. I come back in here and it's flat and dry. I'm in East Texas where it's wet and woody. We've got so much rain, we're never on water restrictions. Never. N-E-V-E-R. Never. That's unheard of in most places of Texas. But even in the greatest drought we ever had, they never had water restrictions on water in my yard, which they should have, because it's expensive to do that. But nonetheless. And I had a steak last night. And the fellowship that I had with your pastors. Sometimes you see people, I've been around a while, and they're kind of smoke and mirrors. They got good stage presence, and they do a great job in ministering, and they're really, really gifted here. But they kind of have lost the reality of a people, and they're kind of separated from people. You got pastors that are very connected to you. Amen. Very connected to you. They're genuinely love you, care for you, and listen, you don't find that everywhere, where they're actually accessible. You have a gift. You have a gift. And if you don't utilize that gift or you don't honor that gift, then you're not going to get all of it that you need. Because I found that when you put a demand on the gift, guess what comes out? Good things. And I've counseled, I have a doctor friend. He'd come to me about stuff. I don't know nothing about nothing. And next thing you know, the Holy Spirit is just kind of, well, he won't know anything. Pastor won't know anything about that. Well, he's connected to the Holy Spirit. So anyway, you're in a good place. So I've got some things I want to give to you today. I don't know if I need to. I'll look at the clock, and I've got one everywhere, so that's good. I don't have to pull my phone out, and let's visit a while. Can we do that? I want to focus on Jesus, our ultimate winner, who also gave us his win. By God's grace, today I hope to encourage you, especially those that are discouraged, because I've been extremely discouraged in my life. And I've needed encouragement. Because, you know, when you're discouraged, you have no courage left. And the promises of God seemed almost to be like a fairy tale. And you got to be careful of those things. Thank God you're at the right, you're in the house of God. You came, so that means that something's great in your life. So also I want to remind you that the authority that you have in Jesus' name is something that we sometimes forget. We all know that we're in a spiritual battle. Some people want to say it's all flesh. You just got to deal with the flesh. Yeah, you crucify the flesh, but we're still in a spiritual battle. And we have an enemy. And he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. But the good news is Jesus has declawed him and kicked his teeth out. So we know that through the authority who Jesus gave us, we have authority over the wicked one. We have authority in Jesus' name. And so often when conflict comes our way, we ignore the fact that Jesus sometimes says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." No. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you have peace, in the world you have tribulation. In the world you have what? In the world you have what? It's not all lollipops and green lights. And sometimes in the faith move, they just talk about it's all green lights and lollipops. Your faith can do anything that you want to, and you'll never have to go through tribulations or trials. And even if you do, then guess what? On the other side of that tribulation or trial, you still come out a win. How many have done that and come out on the other side of it, and it seems as if you had a loss? You did everything you knew to do. You did. You should. You quoted the word. You did everything you could, and guess what? You still came out at a loss. I've seen good preachers and people just go by the wayside, you know, for a moment, go by the wayside. I was talking to a pastor the other day. He's dropping that. That's dropping the F-bomb on me. Mad at God because God didn't come through. Well, the good news is that they didn't bother me a bit. I don't care. I says, you know, I don't understand. Well, just tell me one thing. Okay, God never had a beginning. You just explain that to me. If you can explain that to me, then we'll move on to whatever the heck you need understanding with. Because you can't even figure that out. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but we'll. So, it's faith. Even when it don't work out, it's faith. We don't quit. Yeah, slap your neighbor and tell them don't quit. See, the thing is that when he's for you. He's for you. He is faithful even though you're faithless. He's full of faith even when you have less faith. He knows the end from the beginning. He understands all, and Jesus promised he'd never leave you nor forsake you, even when you feel like he has. He has not. Jesus came to redeem suffering humanity as God in the flesh. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He performed so many miracles. He forgave sinners, healed the sick, cast out devil, raised the dead, walked on water. He calmed the storms and the waves. He destroyed the works of the devil. His purpose to come to redeem you. To give you something to work with. Called authority. He was horribly beaten and crucified. He died for your sins, our sins, all of them, past, present, and future. God never runs a spreadsheet on you and says, okay, Terry Sparks. Oh, my. Numbers don't match. Not a good investment. My blood needs to be somewhere else. Does he ever? Huh? Well, we feel like that sometimes. I'm not worthy. I'm such a screw up. Well, welcome to the screw up club. Praise God. We're all in this together. You who are without sin, pick up the throw the first stone. Amen. This is a rock-free zone. A rock-free zone. We don't throw rocks anyway. You bring your baggage in here. You come in here stinking with sin. We don't care. We've been there. When Jesus died, it looked like to the disciples it all was lost. Peter was cussing. Thomas was doubting. All the other disciples said, we're going to go fishing. We're done. They were afraid. They were hiding. But the good news is death couldn't hold Jesus. And he was resurrected by the power of God. His precious blood made provision for forgiveness of every sin ever committed. His grace was poured out on all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I'm just reminding some people of stuff that you already know. We know in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, when you were flipping God off, he died for you. Now that you're saved, when you sin, you feel condemned and ashamed because you disappointed God. You disappointed yourself. Stop and think. While you were a sinner, Christ died for you. While you're lost in your sins, Jesus died for you. Now you're his child, you think you're less value? Which is greater, your sin or God's grace? Huh? See, God's madly in love with you. That's, to be honest, that's one of the most difficult things for me to believe. Some of us came out of very bad lifestyles, raised by dysfunctional families. It's difficult sometimes to really think, God loves me. Even when I don't perform? Huh? See, when Jesus looks at you, he sees the blood of Jesus. When he looks at you, the blood of Jesus, he does not see your sin. He unconditionally loves you. It sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church. One guy got saved. He was in a real Pentecostal church, and the preacher would always say that sure is quiet in his Presbyterian church. So he got his life right. Man came up with drugs, alcohol, and everything. Got his life. He was a dancer. Man, he come up front. He danced with all his might up front. I mean, every time. So he went on vacation. Had never had a vacation in his life. Went on vacation, and he was out of town somewhere. So he went to a Presbyterian church because that's what he thought he was. And he went up front, and the music wasn't quite doing it, but he went at it anyway. He's dancing with all of his might up front, man. And it wasn't long until a couple of deacons came up, got a hold of him, escorted him out. Now, folks, if you're online and you're Presbyterian, God bless you. It was just a joke. See, the beautiful thing about the scriptures is you can get. Yes, Scripture interprets Scripture, but we have to sin by grace we're saved, not through, it's by grace, through faith that we're saved. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all. That's just all like me trying to figure out that God never had a beginning. It just bewilders me. Condemnation, guilt, and shame are your adversaries. They keep you from coming into the throne room of grace that you might receive help in time of need. He's held nothing back from us. Jesus' win is our win. His freedom is our freedom. His peace is our peace. His righteousness is our righteousness. His joy, our joy. Jesus has purchased abundant life for you. The truth is, you're eternally alive now. And heaven is your home. One day when you breathe your last, you'll step into heaven with Jesus. I'm sure, no doubt about it, all your friends and relatives show up for you a big homecoming party. You'll walk in and Jesus will show up. And you'll live there forever. If you took one grain of sand, and put it on a spaceship and flew it to the moon, by the time you got the entire earth to the moon, eternity would just be beginning. Listen to this promise, Colossians 2:13-15. Got to use the Bible a little bit. And you being dead in your trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And I'm asking my Father that you would open up revelation knowledge to us. That, Lord, that you would download into our spirit, man, the things in which we need. That, God, that we will be able to fight the good fight of faith. That, Father, that we'll be able to be more than conquerors through you. That, Lord, today that we'll serve notice on the demonic forces that have been trying to just bark around us, constantly keep us distracted, always trying to move us into a place of discouragement. Today we're gonna set a boundary and we're gonna say no more in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now see, the thing is, before we accepted Christ, we were hell-bound, incapable of helping ourselves. The law had tried us and found us guilty, deserving us of a horrible place where we would spend eternity in torment, separated from God. When we gave our lives to Jesus, he forgave all our sins, and we received his abundant grace and his gift of righteousness, and now that we reign in life. Jesus took our arrest warrant, condemning us to hell, and nailed it to his cross. His wrath for your sins were poured out upon Jesus. At the cross, Jesus victoriously defeated Satan and his demons, and he disarmed them and stripped them of all their power. In Jesus' time, when a king would go to war against another king, that king would defeat the king. He would take that king he defeated, strip him naked, and tie him to his chariot. And then he would parade this stripped naked king of all of his glory, parade him around in his own kingdom, stating there's a new king in charge. Our victorious King Jesus defeated Satan, stripped him naked of his power and authority, and he paraded him around the universe, publicly declaring Satan's reign is defeated. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in charge. Come on. When you understand that Jesus is in charge, so people get demon-minded. I understand we got to be aware of it. But listen, he's a barking dog. He's a barking dog. That's all he is. He gets in and begins to whisper in your ear. So Satan for thousands of years tormented humanity. The wealth of the world was at his disposal. Jesus, God in the flesh, came on the scene, and for the first time ever in his evil career, God in the flesh had power and authority over him. Yeah. Satan and his demons were beaten and confused by Jesus. Demons were cast out. People were set free. They were healed. Jesus raised people from the dead. Jesus was forgiving sins, walking on water. Come on. Jesus stripped principalities and powers and shamed them openly. Yeah. our sinless Savior breathed his last on earth on this cross. Between that day and his resurrection, Jesus victoriously destroyed death. He destroyed the power of darkness. He destroyed every work of the enemy through the blood of his cross. All the devil's weapons have been stripped away from him. And now the church, you and me, have authority in Jesus' name. Can I get a witness? The only way Satan can gain power in a Christian's life is through deception. He's the accuser. All he can do is attempt to bully you. I love what Jimmy Evans calls him. He calls him the hurt whisperer. That's what he does. He whispers. Twisting the truth. Just enough of it to keep it relevant. And twist it. You'll never be free from this addiction. You're such a loser. God won't help you. You'll never have a happy marriage. You married the wrong person. Your family's lost. God will bless others, but he won't bless you. Because you know what a screw up you are. You know what you do privately. And no one knows. God will bless others, never you. He's a liar. He's a liar. He is a liar. See, in 1 John 3, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You don't know what a purpose? You need a purpose? You need a purpose in life? Jesus went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. That's our purpose. What's our purpose? Huh? To just walk in what Jesus did. He destroyed the works of the devil. What are we going to do? We're going to rescue people from hell. We're going to lay hands on the sick. We're going to see marriages restored. We're going to see rebellious prodigal kids come home. Huh? See, the truth is that when Jesus was raised from the dead, God highly exalted him to a position of honor. We know in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God highly exalted Jesus. That's what we do. That's what praise and worship's about. That's what we do in our daily life. We highly exalt Jesus, the name that's above every name. Yes. And in Jesus, he's the name above every name in all three worlds. Heaven, earth, and those under the earth. And at the name of Jesus, every knee, say every knee, every knee will bow and confess Jesus' lordship and dominion. Amen. There's awesome power in the name of Jesus. I mean, if you go up and kick your foot and you go, oh, Jesus, there's no power in that. There's no power in Jesus as a by word. Jesus. But man, when you sit down and you see something and you get that bulldog tenacity in you and you say, not today, devil. And you pull out that weapon, I'm telling you, demons run. They run. But you got a mean business. See, Luke 10:18 says this. And he said to his disciples, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority. I give you the authority. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, which is demonic powers, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Satan fell, and his authority and power was reduced to nothing. Snakes and scorpions are simply demons armed with deception. Their desire to sting, poison, attempt to steal the authority that you have in Jesus' name. Using the name of Jesus, you have absolute power over the wicked one and his lies. Jesus' divine power flows through his people, and you have power to set the captives free. Let's say, for instance, that we came into church today. Just use your imagination. And there was a man, a big man, mean-looking man, 250 pounds of muscle sitting on the front. People begin to talk about him a little bit because when people greet him, he wouldn't say anything. So how'd he get here? Don't know. He's just here. Then suddenly the doors shut and he sits up front and he says, I got the place surrounded. I'm going to make sure that every one of you Christians die today. No one leaves this place alive. And immediately fear begins to grab a hold of you. What? What? What are we going to do? Well, Pastor Genie just walks over to him and slaps him. He slaps him and steps back. He doesn't move. So she slaps him again. And he doesn't move. And we realize he's paralyzed. He can't move anything but his mouth. Now, how afraid of you are? How afraid are you now? Huh? God has not given you a spirit of
fear.
God has not given you a spirit of
fear.
He's not given you a spirit of deception. I mean, a spirit of depression. Huh? You have power, love, and sound mind. That's your spirit. That's who you are. See, the devil tries to dilute your faith. He's always after the name that's above every name. He wants the world to mock the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus, Christ, Jesus, lives are always transformed. So, there are always things that happen in life in which we just can't understand. How is it that you can pray for someone and God heals them miraculously and we celebrate? And then you use the same faith that you had to pray for someone else and they die. Seven come 11. Come on, Jesus. If I roll them right, I'll get what I need. See, sometimes we can become religious with faith. God is God. My wife went to heaven nearly 2 years ago this September. And I didn't understand. I've laid hands on her so many times, seen God heal her, prayed for my kids. I've seen people healed of stuff. It just amazes me. I mean, I prayed for people and they got healed and I was surprised. I'm telling the truth. I was shocked. I thought they were going to die. My God. I really didn't think they'd live. Wow, Pastor, you had faith. I went, you really don't know this. What I said. Oh, this is all God. Oh, I know you give God glory. Yeah, no, you don't have a clue. No, this is God. Yeah, no. I just showed up. I mean, the donkey spoke. And then my kids got me going to a professional counselor because Dad was sad. And they want Dad making mistakes, and he's like, oh, you know, because he's an old man now. Make stupid decisions, which I'm capable of. But, and, you know, he starts talking about grief. You know, how grief has to go through process and how you have to do that. And it's true. And he says it's okay not to be okay. You know, and it does. It takes time. I wish I could tell you that if you've lost a loved one that you could just, you know, just confess yourself right out of loneliness and confess yourself right out of the loss. But when you're cut in half, you just don't walk away from that. It takes time. But God restores. God's in the process of restoring me. He's still there. So, you know, I thank God for them, but you know, sometimes you can misinterpret what counselors tell you. And one of my greatest things is loneliness, because I get lonely, and, you know, especially in the evenings, because my wife and I would always spend time together. And in the evening, she'd fix dinner, and I'd help, and we just, that's how we did our life. And she hadn't worked since the early 90s, so we were together all the time, church planning and doing what we did, ministry. And she traveled all over the world with me. Now she's gone. And I don't, I'm sorry, I get bored with me after about an hour. I'm just not that fun to be with. I am not good at self-entertaining. I don't like being alone. I don't even have a dog. We'll get a dog. Don't give me a dog. They'll crap in the floor. I don't need a dog. I've had dogs. They'll either puke, chew up something, or crap in the floor. And then you get to spend hundreds of dollars on them because you fall in love with them until you're the vet. I am visiting way too much here. I got to get with the program. We'll never get out of here. But so there I was. Now, folks, you got to understand, this is ongoing with me. And all I can tell you is like there was a heaviness on me that I couldn't get rid of. I prayed, no matter if I prayed in tongues, no matter what I did, it was just there. I couldn't get rid of it. I could walk, be surrounded by people that loved me, honored me. In my son's church, I'm a legacy. I mean, they just walk in, everybody just loves me so much. I felt alone. Nothing could make that loneliness leave me. And one particular night, it was probably, I don't know, in my mind, time's irrelevant, but let's say it's a month ago. I was in my recliner, and that demonic spirit crawled up in the recliner with me. Began to whisper. Yeah, you weren't there to protect her. When she got COVID, you panicked. Her oxygen level went to 65. And I had COVID brain myself. I didn't react in the best possible way. If I just went to a funeral, my cousin's wife died. I would have went to preach the gospel in Louisiana. We would have. See, things, the why. You get lost in the why. There's a scripture I just want to read to you right quick. Psalms 131. I mentioned this to your pastor last night. 131, verse 1 through 2. It's not on the screen, but just listen to it. You can turn there if you want to. I'll give you time. You Bible turners, flip there if you want to. Okay, if you're not there, forget it. We're in a hurry. Says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. In other words, I don't know. I don't understand. This is what the psalmist says. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. I trust God. When I don't understand, lean not to your own. We get lost in our own. I'm trying. Listen, none of this is on paper. This is for somebody. We get lost in our own understanding. Why will take you down a nasty, nasty road, and when you walk into this impenetrable forest, you'll walk around lost the rest of your life. When, God, when? Why, God, why? I don't understand. I don't concern myself. And then it says in verse 2, surely I have calmed my quiet and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. I'm at rest. Things are going to happen, folks, that you just don't understand. I'm sorry, your faith teachers won't tell you that, but it's just the truth. That's reality. Jesus promised us tribulation. We're in a fallen world. And we live in a fallen world, and things happen to good people. And we can get lost. I always used to say, I'm looking for the smoking gun. I'm looking for the smoking gun. Because if I can find out why, I can solve the problem. Why? Why? Faith teachers are always looking for the why. Why Job went through it, you know. Those things that which I greatly feared came upon me. That's why. We always looking, trying to find. Now I just kind of said, Lord, you know, I love you. I love people. Purpose is I'm going to pray for whoever that you put in my way, and I only want no one way to pray, and that is that you're going to heal them. The rest is up to you. Because I am not the healer. So there I was, curled up next to that thing. Didn't know he was there, of course. But you know, the enemy sometimes will overplay his hand. And that night, I was miserable. This is no way to live. I am blessed financially. My son's church, they're in a $9 million building project. They're blowing up. All my family, my grandkids, everybody great. Nothing to be concerned about. And here I am, full of self-pity, hurting, wanting my wife back. Want my heaven back on earth. An enemy. You know, you think, even a good bully, if he gets you and he kicks you to your crying, normally a bully will walk away. Maybe laugh at you, but he'll walk away. Not with demon forces. If you start crying, honey, they're not going to quit. Matter of fact, they're going to try to get off you over onto your kids, on any other person they can. They've come in for something. Your faith. And I got up the next morning and I says, enough is enough. I'm done with this. I thank God for my grief counselor, but it is not okay for me not to be okay. He gave me abundant life, and today, I grab a hold of the name of Jesus, and I walk through that house, and I said, this is it. I serve notice no more. Get out of my house. In Jesus' name. And from that day to this, can I say Sandra up next to me a little bit, and then every now and then going, hey, what you doing? Yeah. Life could be better. Why is God taking so much time for you to be happy? And I go, you know, I am way over my head. The way that you figure this out is your mood.
Yeah, that's right.
That's your thermometer right there. Your mood. What's the matter? I'm just in a bad mood. What's been talking to you? You look at your husband, you know, what's the matter? Just a bad day. Who's been talking to you, honey? Well, you don't understand. No, I understand. Something's been talking to you. I heard this the other day. It's a secular, I don't even know. I'll show you how bored I get on Instagram sometimes. You get a lot of good feeds if you get they figure out what you like. I'm looking at the right stuff. Yeah, it's good that the pastor's not looking at porn. So praise God, and I'm not. So anyway, I saw this guy, and he was counseling this couple, and he's secular, and he said, I loved it, so I'm gonna tell you. You don't know. It was really good. And he said, he's talking to this couple that are struggling. He says, so, all right, so you guys are having a hard day. He says, what if I gave you $1 million? $1 million. Right now. What would your mood be? Oh, no strings attached. $1 million. In the bank. How would your mood be? Oh, we would shout, we'd scream, we would be so happy. Oh, great. What if I kicked it to 10 million? Because you're so happy about the one, I'm going to make it 10. How happy would you be? Oh, awesome. Okay, just one little thing, one little thing. I give it to you this morning, but you can't wake up tomorrow. Will you still take the money? No. So you mean to tell me every morning you get up it's worth a $10 million morning? And you walk around, this sucks, that sucks, this is bad, too hot, no water. Huh? My husband's stupid. My wife's a, well, it's not, you can't say stuff like that in Texas. You can in Texas outside these doors, but you can't inside the church. Huh? And you mean you woke up in a $10 million day and you're not going to have the joy of the Lord?
Yes.
You're not going to have the peace of God? You're not going to walk in the abundant life that Jesus gave? Yeah, you're walking through stuff. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
We're all in stuff. If you think everybody in here is, you know, oh, they're such a wonderful couple, they have no trouble. Ah, they probably got the most trouble than anybody in the room. Don't let me move in the prophetic and call you your perfect Instagram out. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you. Because we're all going through it. Yeah. So I just made a decision. So you don't understand. Okay. I get it. Do you still love Jesus? Do you still have faith that Jesus saved you? Get over your disappointment. Just get over it. I had to. Every now and then I'll backslide a little bit, but again, mood indicator. No, Terry, you're not going down that road again. I'm done with it. And you got to get done with it. Because nobody can do this for you. You could have 100 people pray for you. You got to get up. Put your big boy britches on and you got to say, enough! If you got to go out in the pasture somewhere, get alone somewhere, in the car somewhere, and you get, listen, you use the name that's above every name. You let no more in Jesus' name. When you do that, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? You step into the authority that God gave you, and you can live the abundant life. Through your greatest storm and everything going wrong, people say, why aren't you crying? Jesus slept through a storm. I can sleep through a storm. I mean, shouldn't the apostles just went down there and got a pillow and got in there with him? When the ship's about to go down, hey, Jesus sleep, let's go sleep. We ain't going to die, Jesus is here. I'm so off course. The beautiful thing is I got time. And I'm not used to having time. Am I okay? All right. Yeah, everybody's happy. I always check the people in the back, make sure they're happy. Listen to this, Ephesians 1, 19 through 22. Oh my gosh, I got to quit visiting from the pulpit. All right. In what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? Well, we could camp right there, but I can't. According to the working of his mighty power. That word power is kratos. I'll talk to you about that a little bit. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. And he put all things under his feet.
And he gave him to be the head over all things to the church. It's revelation knowledge right here, ladies and gentlemen. The mighty power is the Greek word kratos, and it means unlimited power that is demonstrated. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he used kratos power to do the job. When Jesus was being raised from the dead, the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb shook with fear and fell to the ground as dead men. The kratos power of God flooded the grave where Jesus' lifeless body was. This all-conquering power permeated every dead cell and fiber of his body and filled it with divine life, and it was impossible for death to hold him. Kratos. The good news is that kratos power is at work in you. What power? Kratos power. Unlimited power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him in his right hand in heavenly places. Where? Where is he? Where is he? Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. Not only this age, but the age that has come. Where are we? Ephesians 2:6, God says this, God raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Huh? God has put all things under his feet. Last I checked, we're the body of Christ, we have feet. Put all things under his feet. Under his feet. And appointed him to be the universal supreme head of the church. We are his body. We are complete in him. See, between the day of crucifixion and the day of resurrection, in the spirit realm, our Jesus defeated every power of darkness. You have to understand this. And every work of the enemy through the blood of his cross, all the enemy's weapons, again, have been stripped away from him, and the authority has now been given to the church to enforce the triumph of Jesus Christ. The enemy has forever been dethroned, and we need to understand the name that's above every name. Gives us the power to move in this world. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 says this. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, loves us. Camp right there. If you got a love problem, honey, just read that again and again and again and again and again until you love that. And then you can start loving yourself. Because God loves you so much, you need to love yourself. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, not through works. Amen. And raised us up together and made us set together in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I'm so glad God is rich in mercy. I'm so glad. It's overwhelming. He loves us with his great love. When we're dead in our sins, our loving Father made us alive together with Christ. According to Ephesians 2:6, we are raised with him. We are raised with him. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Where is Christ? Again, at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality, powers, might, and dominion. That's where he's at. God seated Jesus in the highest position in the universe at his own right hand and made him head over all things. Jesus is far above. Where is Jesus? Far above. All principality, power, might, and dominion. Where are you? Well, you know, my mama was poor. My dad's poor. You know, my wife and I, we got married. We didn't have nothing. Looks like we still got the most of it. Where are you? I'm just lost. No, where are you? Well, I just don't know who I am. No, where are you? Well, I don't know what I want to be. Where are you? He made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That'll make an old man young. Amen. I don't know about you guys. You can get old if you want to. My youth is renewed as the eagles. I ain't going down without a fight. Things start going south, I'm going to buy stuff, make things go north. Amen. That didn't sound right. I didn't mean it anyway. If you're online, I didn't mean it anyway.
I won't recover from that. See, in Jesus' name, with Jesus' name, you're seated and reigning with Christ in heavenly places. It's a position of authority. And if you walk around as a second-class citizen, you're not going to walk in authority. You didn't earn it. He gave it to you. It's a position of triumph. It's a position of victory. It's not a position of failure. It's not a position of defeat. It's not a position of depression. You're not going to have a breakdown. You're not going to go bankrupt. You're not a loser. You're a winner. You're not a victim. You're a victor. You're more than a conqueror through him who loves you. And on top of this, you know, Ephesians 2:6 says this. It says, finally, my brethren, finally, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. That word power is kratos, Pastor. Power, unlimited power. Be strong in his might. That's what you do. You know, you have more power than you realize. And the hurt whispers lie to you so much. I don't care if you're the oldest, weakest person in here. You have more power than you realize. You use the name of Jesus, they run. Things obey you. You're armed with Christ's authority. See yourself seated with him. You are seated with a reigning champion, Jesus Christ. What demonic bully are you afraid of? Certain things suddenly enter into your life and fear starts grabbing a hold of you. No, God's not giving me a spirit of fear. All your babies are out somewhere and you hear a siren. Oh, my babies. No, God's not giving me a spirit of fear. I laid hands on them this morning. They're fine. Huh? Whatever's been troubling you, stop begging God to fix it. Put on your big boy britches and use the name of Jesus. Let's use the name together. Jesus. Let's do it again. Jesus. Jesus. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we take authority over hopelessness in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Jesus. We take authority over depression. You're not going to rule and reign in our life anymore in Jesus' name. No. Listen, you can't have our kids. You can't have our grandkids in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, you've been trying to hinder this church in property. And now we make a decision in Jesus' name. It stops. In Jesus' name, it stops. We listen, all it takes is one man to give you favor. Just one man to give you favor. That's all it takes. One person. Hey, I love you, brother. Hey, we'll do anything for you. One man. You don't need to pray for everything to happen. Just pray for an opportunity with one person. And God will open a door for you that no man can shut. Amen. You can't cast stupidity out of your husband. Just love him to death. He was born that way. He's never going to grow up. Just leave him alone. Let him be a little boy every now and then. As long as he's chasing you, be thankful. Get your hands off me. No, just put your hands on me. Come on, mama, let's get with it. You can tell it's been 2 years. Don't listen. Life's too short. Life's too short. I'm gonna close with this. Need a little water. you realize I can go anywhere else and preach and I can't preach like this? No, because there's liberty in this house. You're part of that liberty. You are. Pastors, leaders, they can't do it. You're part of this liberty. You draw stuff out of people. So you're responsible for this. I'm not responsible. The Bible says he's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. David said the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows us his handiwork. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into his visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No bear can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the center savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's a cardinal of necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. He's the miracle of the ages. He's the superlative of everything good and that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all your needs simultaneously. He supplies strength to the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives the sinner. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. He's a master of the mighty. He's a captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislature. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's a prince of peace, and he's the king of kings, and he's the lord of lords. That's my king. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. He's trying to tell you the heaven and the earth can't contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him. They found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies agreed. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yeah, he always has been. And I'm talking about he had no predecessor. He'll have no successors. There's nobody before him. There'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him. And he's not going to resign. That's my king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The glory is all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power forever and ever. And when you get through with all the forevers, then amen. Amen. Glory to God. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. Merciful God. Mighty God. We magnify you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I'm trying to put some zip in your zipper. I'm telling you, man. You're meaner than a junkyard dog. Now act like it. You know where he gets us? Now quit. You know how he gets you? Things start going bad, you get quiet. You don't say nothing. You get quiet. Well, my mama always said, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. So you shut up. And you won't pull out that name that's above every name. He sneaks in. Things start going bad. Things aren't working out. The best time to jump on something, the first sign of trouble. You jump both feet in the name of Jesus. That's when you go to war. Don't listen to that thing. Listen. Some of you need to go home and have a war path, man. Hit it. Hit it hard. So this is it. I'm done with it. We're setting our thermostat to peace. We're not going to have drama. We're not going to argue anymore. Some of you guys are arguing so much it's ridiculous. You need a whipping. Get up here. I'm taking my belt off right now. That's what I did. I was a Christian school principal. They asked me, what do you do for a living? I said, I spank kids for a living. That was the day that we busted kids' butts. You don't have ADHD. You just have attention deficit disorder. I'm going to fix you right now. I'll get rid of that ADHD. That'll get you going. Now, pay attention in class. All right. You're 5 years old. Now, go do good. Oh, but listen. It's a play. When you have authority, it's like a 98-pound policewoman holding up her to stop. When you know you have it, you don't always. It's good to yell every now and then. But sometimes you just go, no. That's it. Stop it. Stop it. That's it. And that's authority. When you go, no, I prayed for them, they're healed. Praise God. I laid hands on them, or whatever. I'm just not going to live like this anymore. Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. Well, if you got a problem now, just lay hands on yourself and get it fixed. No, if you really need prayer, we're always here to help. We're here to pray for you, help you. It'd be nice if I just say, everything's right. You're going to walk out of here, and you're going to be facing some issues. But I've equipped you with something. But it's a vocal gift. You have to do it. You have to. You get people to believe with you. Amen. Took us late 10,000. But you have to be the instigator. Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit here among your great people. Lord, I sense a roar in the house. I sense a roar in the house. Yeah. There's such victory here in this house. There's such compassion flowing. But it's almost like the enemy has just tried to seclude you. It's almost like I see just trying to hide you. Put you in a place where it's like you're not, the church isn't seen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command that to stop now in Jesus' name. Command it to stop in Jesus' name. And Father, through the authority of who you called this church to be, that Lord, you're going to put divine favor on this house, and Lord, they're going to expand the right and the left. They're going to do great things for you. They're going to not be held by any kind of building issues. That Lord, you're going to just do the great things in their life. Father, I thank you for the presence, your presence in their lives. Thank you for ministering to each and every person. Thank you, Lord. The little grandma in here who may be the oldest one in here, the weakest, that Lord, she's going to walk out of here with a shout, a roar in her heart. You let go of my grandkids. You let go of my great-grandkids. You're not doing this anymore. Yeah. Today, if you walked in and you said, what kind of church is this? We may not be the church for you, but I want to introduce you to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Master of the universe, the one that save this drug-addicted boy. Had no hope, most likely not to succeed. You saved me. Changed my tree, my family tree. Totally changed my life. My kids, my grandkids. So many other lives have been changed by the goodness of Jesus in my life. Through my ups and my downs, my mistakes, He's remained faithful. I want to introduce you to that kind of God that loves you, and He'll forgive all your sins. And if you've possibly been away from God, and today you just wandered in and says, you know, I need something more. Today is the day for something more, that you can give your life to Jesus and forever be changed by His goodness and His mercy. So if you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, or that you would perhaps want to rededicate your life, you're in the crowd, I would like to pray for you. I'm not going to call you up forward, up front. I'm going to ask you for you to raise your hand. And I'm going to pray for you right where you are. And I'm going to count to three. And when I do, I want you to raise your hand high. And you can put it right down, right back down, and I'll pray for you. Giving your life to Jesus for the first time or rededicating your life. One, your life will never be the same. Two, the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. Three, raise them high, raise them high. I see that hand, see that hand. God bless you, God bless you. I love brave people who make decisions for God. Let's pray this prayer together, congregation. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me my sin. I rededicate my life to you. I give you everything. All my mistakes, they're yours. I give them to you. Jesus, I believe you're God in the flesh, and I believe that you were raised from the dead. Come, live your life in me and give me the victory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you raise your hand, the pastor's going to come and make sure that you have any resources or anything that you might need. God bless you. Thank you for your time. And if you're here visiting, come back next week and hear a really great preacher, because, you know, he's got to clean up what I've done. So.